Father, we're just so grateful for your Son, Jesus. Thank you. In that name, we come to you. Thank you that we do know him. We shall know him. Behold the Lamb. The Lamb slain. Oh, how exciting, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. What a beautiful, beautiful one you are. Glory to your name. Now, God, as we come in fellowship with you, Lord, you've drawn us in, you've called us, and Lord, you've chosen us. God, we know that your table has been set. The feast is there for us. Lord, let us be willing to enter in today and let the Spirit reign. Oh, God, as we say so many times, and we're thankful that we can say it with sincerity, anoint our hearts to receive the beauty of your Son. God, and the beauty is his Word, and he is the Word. And we're so thankful that the Word, when we believe it, works effectually in us. And Lord, thank you for that effectual, fervent love that you've given us. Lord, let it grow today. Let us just give you all the praise and glory and thanks and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise his name. Well, go ahead and open your Bibles. Some of you may have already. To 2 Samuel chapter 12. At 2 Samuel chapter 12. And as you're turning there, I do have a disclaimer before we begin this. And the disclaimer is, this sermon is not about any individual in this place. This sermon is about every individual in this place. How's that? I beat you to the punch, huh? Amen. I don't want to hear, well, oh, brother, I can't believe you exposed this about me. So let's just get it straight right now. This is for everybody. And God encouraged us earlier, if ye endure chastening. Now listen to that. If ye endure chastening. And that really means to appreciate and be thankful for it. Amen. I was so thankful to be the son of my natural dad, John Odorcio. I wouldn't have wanted any other daddy. And I'm so thankful for the chastening that my dad brought to me. Now, how much more? Couldn't even be compared. Not even worthy to be compared with the love of my Father God. Hallelujah. All right. A lot of times people have said, brother, what's the hardest thing about being a pastor? Being a Nathan. Sure. So pray for me. Let's go ahead and read. That'll help. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. And I believe the Lord has sent me to you today. And he came unto him, and he said unto him, there were two men in one city, and the one rich and the other poor. And the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him, and with his children it did eat of his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. Kind of reminds me of my puppy. And there came a traveler unto the rich man. I mean, this is a sweet story. And he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was to come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against that man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, that man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel. And I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom. I gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto you these such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight, that thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword and hast taken his wife to be thy wife and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor. And he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Thou art the man. And it's one of the most powerful epiphany moments in the entire Word of God. One of the most powerful statements. The most powerful statements that could ever be said to you. Thou art the man. You're it. It's you. The moment that it really hits home. And brothers and sisters, we are in the fight of all ages. A lot of times I hear people, well, I'm fighting for my own life. No. We are warring for God's eternal best. There's something far above your life. And this is the warring for God's eternal best. That's how important you are. Know the Word of God. Believe the Word of God. Study the Word of God. You've got an exciting life ahead of you. You just don't realize how exciting it is. But how critical it is. And how crucial it is. And how important it is to God. And we just happen to have a God that is so loving, that is so caring, that is so affectionate, that is so personally absorbed in us and with us, that He will send the Word of the Lord. And He'll slap you right in the face with it. And He will. And He'll tell you, thou art the man. Mm-hmm. Yep, and He will. Amen. Now, what He's saying there is wake up. Come out of the fog. It's not about what's going on out here. It's not about what's going on in sister or brother or anybody else. It's about what's going on in you. Thou art the man. And as the Lord was bringing this to me, brothers and sisters, this doesn't only pertain to when we have wronged someone. And it surely does pertain when we have wronged someone. But maybe even more so and more importantly, when someone has wronged us. And my heart has been so, so heavy for such a long time. And the Lord has brought this, and I think maybe I will tell you I've wrestled against it. I said, Lord, can't we delay this just a little longer? See, I just thought that, you know, maybe He could come and we could kind of get over this. But no. He said, no, this is my will. This is my ministry, son. These are my people. And many of us, brothers and sisters, many of us are blinded here today with a wrong that someone has done against us. Mm-hmm. A wrong that I'm specifically going to say that you did not deserve, huh? That you did not earn. But I'm here to tell you that wrong, when it has its way with us, defeats us every single time. Amen. I'm talking about when the enemy so deceitfully takes the wrong that's been done against us, and he turns it into bitterness, right. And he turns it into hate. And he turns it into resentment.
That's right. Thank you, Jesus.
What happens is that wrong gets down in there and it never leaves. and it festers, and it becomes a sin that starts to reign. And I think about Brother David, and I think how he was so sweetly used to make this point. And yet he was also the man that God used to show that God's grace could reign in forgiveness. He had a brother in the Lord, a king, matter of fact, named Saul, who hunted him relentlessly. David had never done anything but good to Saul, yet Saul went completely out of his way to belittle him, to injure him, to damage him, to destroy him, and even kill him if he could. You go back in there and read that story. 2 times Saul throws a javelin at him, and yet David still stays, sings to him. "You're my brother in the Lord. God set me here for a purpose. I need to be patient and endure." And then Saul devises to give him one of his daughter's hands in marriage. And then literally right at the altar, Saul comes in and says, "No, you're not going to have her," and takes her away. David still allows the love of God to reign. And so Saul says, "Well, I'll give you another one of my daughters, even more beautiful than that one." And he says, "Oh, this one's very obedient to me, and I know that I'll have your head before too long, because she'll give you to me." The thing that he didn't realize is she fell in love with David. And when he sent those men to beat him to death while he was in that bed, his sweet daughter had the plan to get the goat hair and put a dummy in that bed. And all Saul could do was beat a dummy. Let that speak to you. Okay. Now, as you know the story, David finally gets his chance. Saul, in hunting David with his men, as the Word of God says, like a partridge in the hills. Saul finally falls asleep in a cave, the cave of Adullam. And he falls asleep right there at David's feet. And Saul doesn't know that David's in that cave. And David's men are with him, and they say, "Oh, this is your time, man. He's a dirty dog. He deserves it. Slit his throat, and let's have a party. Come on, we can get him right now. Step on him. He earned it, every bit of it, David. You've done that man nothing but good, and it's time to destroy him." And without hesitation, all David could say is, "Oh, no. No, I will not lift up my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed." Now I'm going to ask you, and you can look around if you like, which one of your sisters or brothers in Christ here today is not anointed? "Oh, well, I don't see it." No, let me ask you this. Did the blood of the Lamb anoint anything to you? If you know him as Savior today, you are anointed with the precious blood of Jesus. It's been anointed upon your life. It's been poured out. And you've accepted, you're approved, you're favored, you're called a child of the King. Now what do I not want to honor in that? Let this be real to you. Please, let this speak to your heart. They're very important. Very important. Extremely important. It's called the love of God. Amen. If we're going to take and receive all the love of God, this is vital to our lives. Now, I know that I just heard a bunch of amens. Praise be to God. I'm thankful. I love to hear the full overcomer in Christ testimony, don't you? Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, brother, I can hear it right now. I want you to know that brother so-and-so that did me so wrong. We're tight. We love one another. It's awesome. As long as he stays on that side of the church. And if he dares come over and says hello to me, we're having a smackdown. Yeah, God help you. Huh? And the thing, the blindness is, and you want to even be commended for that? I want to tell you something. Your head is in a hole. Your head's in a hole. And I want you to be aware of something. There's an enemy that's standing right over there that's rubbing his hands. That's saying, I got me another crown. How can you say, you love me, whom you have not seen, when you do not love your brother whom you see? You heard that one, have you? Huh? Do you see him as bridegroom today? I believe there's a lot of precious hearts here that see him as bridegroom. Yep. Hear that message. It's wonderful. Tickles your ears and makes your heart leap. Well, let the bridegroom say these words that I just spoke to you. How can you say you love me as bridegroom when you do not love my body? You know why it's right? Because it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. How can you say you love me as bridegroom when you don't love my body? How do I know this? Well, the Word of God tells me so. But how do I know this? I know it from experience too. Especially about 20 years back. Yeah. And in a way that probably most of you don't even know. Say, oh yeah, maybe some of those that left the meeting. Nope. Had to do with one that stayed. And time again, the Lord dealt with me about it. Oh, but Lord, I love him. I know that I love that brother or that sister. And yet every time they'd come over, this boil would start to brew in me. And I'd say, yeah, Lord, but you know, curse words aren't coming out of my mouth right now. So I must be just gaining on in something, huh? Look at me tolerate. I don't read tolerate in here.
Amen. That's right.
Brothers and sisters, I love you. And I love you enough to tell you about the Word of God. And I love you enough that I want you to win Christ as bridegroom. I'm here to preach the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
And it is serious. And this ain't no show. This is sincerity. Naturally speaking, and everything about me, I would not be here. I would not take the time to do this. But it's to my absolute privilege to preach the beauty of the love and the Word of God to His saints. And I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. Until you love with the love of God, and I'm telling you, you love everybody with the love of God, the divine, fervent love of God, you do not apprehend him as bridegroom.
Right.
You don't. I know this because God comes and he sups with you. And he tells you that you're his own. And you look into his eyes and you say, Lord, I do love you. But he points to his body and he says, but do you love all of me? It's easy to cherish a head, but sometimes it ain't so easy to cherish the body, is it now? And I'm going to ask you, what's the difference? There isn't. Are you not one in Christ? Brothers and sisters, my heart is heavy. Jesus could come soon. Now you can say, oh, I appreciate this, brother, and I need to go think about it. And I can say, well, that's wonderful. I pray the Lord encourage you another Sunday. But here's the problem. You might not have another Sunday. See, there's one thing that God deals with, and that's now. He deals with now. And He wants us to come to this today. And God is saying to you, there is no root of bitterness that is worth missing my best. There just isn't. I don't care about the principle. I don't care how much the hurt. I don't care how much you were wronged. I am telling you, it is the greatest treasure of your life. It is the jewel in your crown. Because this is something that you could never do. That you know has got to be all Him. And I'm telling you, you'll smile before the Lord. And you will say, this is the most amazing thing that you've done in my life.
Hallelujah.
I know how many years that God had me hold that and carry that. And how long I tried to put it off and tried to put it aside. But it was a moment that He came. And He said, will you let me have it now, son? It was so mighty. It was so wonderful. I was so thankful that day. It wasn't any longer that I just said, Lord, I've sinned. No, it was, Lord, I sinned against You. I see this now. I really do. I see the hurt. I see the longing that You've had in this for so long. Lord, it wasn't against that brother or sister. It wasn't that at all. It was You all the time. It was You all the time. And when I saw Jesus, when Jesus took the place of that brother, and that's what He did. He took the place of that brother. When I saw Jesus, it was gone. I'm telling you, it was gone and it never came back. It's a jewel in my crown. It's my glory. It's a rejoicing. It's when Let Brotherly Love Continue came to reign in my life. And then it only grew. Because it only could grow in grace, huh? Because He showed me with that life that I couldn't get over. I couldn't love them. I couldn't. Tolerated all day long. We could come to church together. We could say hi. But there was a wall so high you could never even find the top. It went so low in the ground you could never dig underneath it. But in a moment when I saw Jesus, it was gone. And you know what? He showed me it was never there to begin with. It was another one of those lies. Oh, I'm so thankful. You talk about giving me a new heart. He did. He gave me a new heart. He did. He rid my life of that. Hallelujah. He caused me to walk in His love. He took that hurt. And you know what He showed me about that hurt? Is that He bore it upon that cross. He bore that pain upon that cross for me. You're going to have to see it that way. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to see it that way. That it was nailed there. That it was nailed right there. That He took this and He encouraged my heart. It was so precious. He said, now, son, just leave it there. Because it is there. And I always wanted it to be somewhere else. Like putting it before me. But then I saw Jesus. And He told me, son, I finished it. And he told me so sweetly, by that stripe of death that I took for you, you're healed. Now I plead with you today, take it. This I know. This I know. Can you really believe in your heart of hearts that God has sent Nathan to you today and says, thou art the man? I'll finish with a little story. As I was sharing with Mom about this, she was kind of almost getting teary. I could hear it on the phone. And she said, you know, honey, I wasn't born to let go of stuff very easy. I kind of held on to things. Stubborn. And she said, the Lord gave me a dad. Not by blood. But he sent a man of God into my life. And his name was Brother Hill. And he said, I didn't understand it for a long time. But any time I had a dispute with anybody, any time that anybody had hit me at school that I told him about or hurt me, he'd say, honey, I want you to go to him and tell him you're sorry. And I'm going to tell you something that bothered her. She says, well, that wasn't me. I didn't bring this on. I didn't do anything. Why am I saying I'm sorry? Because you got a nature. Because you got a nature. And more importantly, because you got a new man. And you got a new man that needs to start rejoicing in the liberty that you have in Christ Jesus. Amen. The freedom that you have. Hallelujah. The thankfulness to God that today is your day. To let go of that weight. To let go of it. Why take it one moment longer? Why not soar in this? Why have a root of bitterness that hits you every single time you think about it? I'm so thankful to God that every time I think about that situation I told you 20 years ago, I smile and I say, thank you, Lord. You freed me from it. You delivered. And yes, I endured chastening because His grace causes me to want to be His son. Go ahead and stand and worship Him. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, God. God, work in your people. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, let it be the day. Thank you, Lord. God, deliver your people. Thank you, Lord. God, comfort your people. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord God. Jesus, come in. Come in. Come in. Thank you, Lord, for delivering this weight. Thank you, Lord, for taking this burden. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. While every head is bowed, I do give you all the thanks and praise and glory in the name of Jesus. I'm grateful to God that I am free. I thank you, Lord, that you've taken a burden from my heart. God, hallelujah. Your burden is light and your yoke is easy. And thank you, Lord, that you bring us into it by faith. Lord, I'm trusting you for my family. I'm trusting you for my life. Lord, if there be any indifference, dear God, if I be otherwise minded, let it be made known unto me. Thou art the man. God, help me to bow down, to lay prostrate before you, Lord God, to surrender and submit my life to you, Lord God. Lord, I've come here week after week and month after month and year after year. It is time for me to apprehend you in every way. You told me that she's altogether lovely. And Lord, you've pointed this out. Haman has said, let it go. You will never stand before that king in radiant beauty until you take only what I have. Now, Lord, only you can do it. God, we can want it for one another and we can lift it up, but only you can do it. I'm encouraged to tell each and every life, take this moment, bow before Him. This is an altar call maybe of your life. This might be the time that God is dealing with you this way. So Lord, I lift it up. I take peace and comfort that this is your way. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.